Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 16th. I'm Abby Larico. Graham Nash wrote several anthems of the 1960s with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But as he tours behind a new album, his greatest hits still have something to say.
I always want to write songs that are relevant right now and will be relevant in 20 years from now. And songs like Immigration Man and Military Madness, they're all still here. Those songs are still relevant today.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin talks with Nash about his legacy, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education has fired former Superintendent Keisha Scarlett. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
The board's vote follows its decision last month to terminate Scarlett's contract after a third-party investigation into her hiring practices. She appealed that decision. In a statement, Scarlett says she refused to attend Monday's hearing in protest. She says the board barred her from accessing documents that would have helped her case. She plans to take legal action against the school board. School Board President Tony Cousins says Interim Superintendent Millicent Borchade will continue in that role until the end of the school year. The board has not started a search to find a permanent superintendent. Cousins says the investigation into Scarlett's time with the district is ongoing. When asked if she had a message for SLPS families, Cousins said, quote, "The students, families, and staff continue to be the top priority of this board." I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Demolition of the Chesterfield Mall began Tuesday after the mall officially closed at the end of August. It's to make way for a new $2 billion mixed-use development with thousands of new apartments and space for retail, offices, restaurants, and other uses. Among those who came out to see the demo begin was Dan Tilley, who grew up in Chesterfield and, like so many others, at the mall.
It raised me. It was another home. Parents were, you know, at work. They're like, you know, what do you want to do on the weekends? Take us to the mall. Walking around shopping, seeing all the stores, all the people. It's memories that will last a lifetime.
Demolition of the mall will last another 6 months. The developer expects new buildings with apartments on the old site will be completed and ready to move in by 2028. The St. Louis Reparations Commission delivered its final report to Mayor Tashara Jones Tuesday. It identifies areas for reparative justice and includes recommendations for ways to repay Black St. Louisans for years of racial discrimination. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The 124-page report findings detail the city's history of slavery, systemic injustice, and discriminatory policies that negatively affected Black residents. The report also shows how racist systems and policies persist in housing, education, life expectancy, and employment. The commission's recommendations include a formal public apology and cash payments, as well as policy reforms like funding Black-owned businesses through grants, establishing a free Wi-Fi program, and addressing pollution in impacted areas. A spokesperson for the mayor's office says Jones is reviewing the report to see which recommendations will be possible and feasible. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The former director of finance for a local charity that supports adults with disabilities is accused of embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars from the nonprofit over the course of a decade. Joelle Fousse pleaded not guilty in federal court Tuesday to 3 counts of felony wire fraud. She allegedly stole almost $700,000 from Promise Community Homes, which provides housing to adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. She allegedly tried to cover up her crimes by making false entries in the nonprofit's financial records. Prosecutors say Fousse used the funds for personal expenses. Fousse was also a member of the board of City Garden Montessori in South St. Louis until at least June of 2023, including a term as treasurer. The school did not immediately return a request for comment. A new committee to investigate nuclear waste and its potential health impacts on people in the St. Louis region and Missouri held its first hearing Tuesday. Missouri representatives on the committee questioned officials from the Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of Natural Resources. They also heard from affected community members. Kim Vizentine is co-founder of the Coldwater Creek Group and lost her son, who was born with a brain tumor.
I love that there's a state legislative committee because I think that, you know, that just increases the voice we have on the federal level. Because a lot of times what happens is the federal level is like, well, what's the state doing about it?
The committee hopes to document concerns and create legislation to address these issues. A St. Louis County attorney says he's hoping to make caring for seniors a major priority if he's elected lieutenant governor next month. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from Republican David Wassinger's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Wassinger won a crowded GOP primary in August in the race to succeed Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, who is running for governor. He says he wants to foster good relationships with senators, especially since he's never won election to office before. As Missouri's senior advocate, Wassinger says he hopes to shine a light on deficiencies in senior living facilities.
But if you have someone with memory care issues that does not have an advocate, I can only imagine what's taking place in some of these senior care facilities.
Wassinger is taking on Democrat Richard Brown in the November 5th election. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
An inclusive playground is coming to Queenie Park in St. Louis County next spring. The $2.4 million playground is designed to be accessible for kids of all abilities. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports.
The condemned playground at Queenie Park is being demolished this week to make way for a new one. Erin Gooch is spearheading the project, which is being built in honor of her son, Teddy. Gooch says most playgrounds aren't designed for her 8-year-old and other kids with disabilities. This new one will feature equipment that they can safely and independently enjoy.
There's ziplining, where a kid with no limitations can do it as normal, but there's also one that you can be strapped in, so someone with limitations can play next to their peers.
The playground was designed by Unlimited Play, a St. Peter's-based nonprofit that has built over 100 accessible playgrounds. I'm Arla Kaziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Graham Nash sang about a changing world for more than 50 years as a member of the supergroup Crosby, Stills, and Nash, sometimes joined by Neil Young. After the final breakup of the group and Crosby's death, Nash is touring to promote his solo album called Now. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked Nash how he likes life as a solo artist.
It's fantastic, actually. I have a tremendous amount of freedom. There are not three of us or four of us trying to figure out whose songs we're going to do. I want to be there. I don't want to phone it in. I don't want to do it half-assed. I'm going to sing it with the same passion I had when I wrote the songs.
Here I am, still living my life. Right now.
Seems like there's a couple full circle moments on the album. A while back, you wrote a little song called Teach Your Children. And at the time of the so-called generation gap, it's incredibly empathetic. You know, it's addressed to the children and to the parents.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
That was a really mature perspective for a young man at the heart of the counterculture, no?
Yes, indeed. That's incredibly relevant still today. You know, children are only 25% of our population in the world, but they're absolutely 100% of our future.
And you know, I don't mind mentioning, I used to listen to that song with my mom when I was 11 years old, and you know, we played it for her at my wedding this year.
Fantastic.
And know they love you.
Now on the new album, there's a song called Better Life, where you're singing as an elder.
Yep.
What's it like coming at it from that perspective?
I love your thinking. It really is an extension of my feelings when I wrote Teach Your Children. And it goes down very well.
And they watched us argue and they heard us fight. So they took it out and danced into the night. And swore they'd never be like us.
I always want to write songs that are relevant right now and will be relevant in 20 years from now. And songs like Immigration Man and Chicago, We Can Change the World, and Military Madness, they're all still here. Those songs are still relevant today.
Well, also thinking about the passage of time, You wrote another beautiful song in 1982, Wasted on the Way, when you're singing as a barely 40-year-old man, saying, things are great, but I keep thinking about the chances I didn't take, the things I didn't do. That song now is 42 years old. Graham, would you make some of the same observations now?
I would. I really wrote Wasted on the Way about the four of us and how much time we had wasted, how much love we had wasted amongst each other. We were four very strong individuals with good voices and writing ability, and it was very difficult to get one decision out of the four of us. I wish that we had done more. I wish we had made more music. I wish we had made more love. Let the water come and carry us
away. That was Graham Nash talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Here's a little more, though, now from Graham Nash.
It's a lovely place. Welcome home to the human race. Make it a better life. One we can be proud of. So at the end. Say that we left them a better life.
Since you're still here, how about a bit more of that conversation? Here, Nash shares with Jeremy how he's been able to make peace with the passing of his longtime musical partner and friend.
I know you've been asked to talk a lot about David Crosby since his death, but you have a unique perspective with the long and productive friendship you had. Of course, unfortunately, you were estranged in his final years. Did you have a chance to reconcile?
Yes, towards the end, in the last 10 days of his life, we were actually talking to each other. He emailed me once and said that, and it was the first time in 2 years that we used to talk every single day, of course, for 50 years, you know, and he emailed me and he said, I want to apologize about some of the things I had to say about you and your music, and what do you think? And I wrote back and I said, well, you know, I thought you really disliked me as a person, and I only ever gave my best to this partnership. And I set up a FaceTime meeting because I wanted to see his face while we were talking. And I set it up. I live in New York City, so I set it up at 2 o'clock my time, which was 11 o'clock his time in California. And he caught COVID and never made that connection. But towards the end there, we were definitely talking to each other in a very nice way.
How much of a difference was there for you between at least having those emails and not getting to talk and where it had sat before that?
It made me feel much better when he actually passed. I felt good that we were talking because, you know, why we were not talking, it was irrelevant. It was just stuff in life, you know? And it wasn't enough for us to have destroyed a 50-year friendship. So I was very glad that when he actually finally passed that we were talking.
So at the end of the day, we can laugh and say that we left them a better life.
I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.